The Truth News Network. Today's noise giving you heartburn? D-A-N. That's how you spell relief. TNN.
The Truth News Network.
Here's Dan Newman.
I don't want to use the I word today. Impeach. There, I used it once. I'm going to try to mention that as few times as I possibly can during today's story. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Truth News Network. Tonight, we're talking about suicide. Democrat suicide. Well, there is so much craziness happening on Capitol Hill. It's just unbelievable. And none of it has anything to do with legislation. None of it has anything to do with making America a better country. None of it has anything to do with anything other than getting rid of Donald Trump. And you know what? Many on the right feel that the Pelosi House of Representatives, by voting to impeach President Trump, are simply committing political suicide. But they need to stop and consider a few things, those that feel that way. First, Nancy Pelosi's a really savvy politician. In her long and storied career, she's learned to carefully calculate every move she makes. She's very, very careful, using all the tools available to her to make sure that political victory is hers every time. As a matter of fact, you may not know this, but as Speaker of the House, Pelosi has never lost a single vote. I know she put another X in her win column with the House voting articles of impeachment. That prevents any blemish on her perfect House voting record. But conservatives look ahead to 2020 and feel like the House impeachment is certain, if not to return House majority status to Republicans, certainly make the Democrat majority a much slimmer one. And in either scenario, many first-year Democrat legislators probably made their most critical vote in their political careers with their vote to impeach the president. Why do I say that? Well, most of them are likely to head to the House. They're going to find themselves as nothing more than one-term representatives come November 2020. Many of them are going to be voted out of office. Conservative and independent voter rage in a large number of congressional districts is rising every day. It's doubtful that anger is going to subside by November 3rd, 2020. That's election day, and I've got it circled and X'd on my calendar. And millions of other Americans do too. Why would Representative Pelosi, Adam Schiff, Gerald Nadler not just lead the House to the impeachment trough, but push to make it happen so quickly? Conventional wisdom is that impeachment stands no chance to succeed in a Senate trial in January, and that will assure Donald Trump serves the balance of his first term in office. Mr. Trump certainly now has an advantage. So, in the midst of all of that and knowing that, and as smart as is Pelosi, it appears her letting impeachment happen on her watch is political suicide. So, have you, like me, been wondering, what could she be thinking? Is there something else going on? Well, let's call it the plan. I can't think of any other thing to call it. You know, I'm not the only one trying to understand what the Democrat Party play is in this impeachment charade. Pelosi and company are far too seasoned in politics to make hasty policy decisions on anything near term without at least having comfort that the long-term play is going to work out in their benefit. I just haven't seen that here. So let's together try to filter through the anger, the hatred, the constant uproar of impeachment to determine if Pelosi has a specific long-term objective for not only pushing Trump impeachment, but forcing the process from start to finish. Today, it is finished, as far as the House is concerned. Impeachment is done. And they've pushed it in 90 days, folks. Remember this, in comparison, the Clinton impeachment process lasted 5 years. This House of Representatives voted for 2 articles of impeachment after only 3 months. Pelosi and company must have something going on. They got to have a plan. So let's think this through. Let me throw a couple of ideas out for you. Number one is called the Benghazi effect. Columnist Dennis Bedoya offered up an excellent possibility to answer our question, what next? When the Benghazi investigation came to a close in 2014, it seems like it was yesterday. Can you believe it was 5 years ago? When that happened, when it came to an end, the House Intelligence Committee found no deliberate wrongdoing by the Obama administration. This was viewed as a massive failure for the GOP and a big win for Democrats, for Hillary Clinton in particular, because everybody knew she was going to be the next Democrat candidate for the White House. The Republican majority then set up a special select committee to continue their probe. Representative Kevin McCarthy, who's now the majority leader in the House, the minority leader in the House, at that time was the Republican majority leader in the House, was candid in a 2015 interview about why the GOP fought so hard to investigate Clinton's involvement in the Benghazi disaster. Here's what he said, quote, "Everybody thought Hillary Clinton was unbeatable, right? But we put together a Benghazi special committee, a select committee. What are her numbers today? Her numbers are dropping. Why is that?" he said. "Because she's untrustable. But no one would have known any of that had happened had we not fought," he said. McCarthy and his fellow Republicans knew the likelihood of any conviction coming down on anybody in the Obama administration was pretty much next to none. And that wasn't the point. The point of the Benghazi investigations was creating a strategy to fight and win in the long term, not the short term. Convicting Clinton was never their goal. The goal was to kick the Democrat Party out of the White House. That's what the Republicans were looking to do, long term. People mocked McCarthy and the GOP establishment after those Benghazi hearings, and again when he admitted the real reason behind those investigations. But they stopped mocking him after Donald Trump assumed office almost 4 years ago. Think about it. Democrats certainly realize this U.S. Senate will not vote to remove President Trump from office. It isn't going to happen. It takes 67. They have 52, so they would have to get 16 to defect from the Republican Party. That's not going to happen. Democrats will not stop trying to remove the president. Yes, they hope all the noise of impeachment will discredit Mr. Trump in the eyes of enough of his supporters to move the needle to Democrat in the 2020 election. Benghazi helped the GOP keep Hillary from the White House. If it doesn't work to keep the Donald as president for 4 more years, they plan on their continual onslaught of venomous hatred for the president to blackball any Republican in 2024. If they get him out, however, they're going to go venomously after whoever replaces him. They're playing the long game. So our possibility number one as an answer to why the Democrats are pushing so hard in such short a period of time to get rid of Donald Trump is the Benghazi effect. What's number two? We'll call it the game of impeachment. Democrats seem to use that threat, the impeachment threat, as a government policy anytime a Republican shows up in the White House. You may not have realized this, folks, but did you know that every elected Republican president since Dwight Eisenhower has sustained impeachment attempts by Democrats? Every one. Obviously, Eisenhower, who was a star in World War II, they didn't try to impeach him. But every Republican that was elected since, they've tried to impeach. Let's look at them. Richard Nixon, on May 9, 1972, Congressman William Fitzryan submitted a resolution to impeach President Nixon. The next day, John Conyers introduced a similar resolution. Both were referred to the Judiciary Committee. And of course, we know what happened. Right before they were going to impeach Richard Nixon, a bunch of Republicans went to the White House, made him understand what was about to come down and that he probably would be kicked out of office in a trial in the Senate. He decided to resign before he was impeached. Ronald Reagan, that's right. On March 6, 1987, Congressman Henry B. Gonzalez introduced articles of impeachment against President Reagan regarding the Iran-Contra affair. Joint hearings of Congress dominated the summer of 1987. I mean, everybody looked in as hearing after hearing after hearing was underway on television every day. A special prosecutor was appointed. Didn't get him, of course. And then George H.W. Bush probably didn't know that they tried to get him. On January 16, 1991, again, Congressman Henry Gonzalez introduced articles of impeachment against President George H.W. Bush for starting the Gulf War. The resolution was referred to the Judiciary Committee, where it died. Didn't even get out of committee. Not to be deterred, Gonzalez tried again, February 1992. He then referred both bills to the Subcommittee on Economic and Commerce. Still, both resolutions died there. Importantly, in 1992, Democrats controlled the Senate, 57 to 42, and the House, 258 to 176, yet could not get an impeachment vote that only required a majority in the House. And W, they went after George W. Bush. Due to the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, President George W. Bush, as well as other officials in his administration, were targeted for impeachment by the Democrats. Their efforts died during hearings in committee. However, the Democrats tried their best to get rid of W. And that, of course, brings us now to President Trump. On May 17, 2017, Representative Al Green of Texas called for the impeachment of President Trump on the House floor. A few months later, and less than half a year into his presidency, Representative Green again was joined by Representative Brad Sherman to introduce a resolution that contained an article of impeachment. Shortly afterward, Representative Steve Cohen joined five other Democrats to introduce five articles of impeachment that included obstruction of justice, violation of the Foreign Emoluments Clause, violation of the Domestic Emoluments Clause, undermining the independence of the federal judiciary, and undermining the freedom of press. The impeachment or attempted impeachment of duly elected Republican presidents seems to be a plank in the Democrat Party platform, and it seems to be a considered and purposely implemented plank in the foundation of political options for them to get rid of their presidential opponents. I did not even realize until we started doing research that they had been so insistent on getting rid of duly elected Republican presidents. So, that is possibility number two, the game of impeachment. What's number three? And what's number four? Two to go. We'll be right back to break those down for you. At Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant. Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Ronnie, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
I'd say happier than a camel on Wednesday.
Hump day!
Get happy. Yeah. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
TNN, the Truth News Network, wants you in our army of truth seekers. Sign up today at truthnewsnet.org and never miss a story or podcast. Truth News Net has been called the most important voice in conservative American politics and is required listening in university classes as far away as Moscow. TNN is heard in every capital on every continent with listeners around the globe. If you're passionate about the truth and are horrified at the turn of world politics, you are not alone. Sign up today and never miss a fact. TNN, truthnewsnet.org. Separating fact from fiction, arming you with the ammunition of liberty. The truth on TNN, truthnewsnet.org.
Just to recap, we're looking at why the Democrats are doing what many think is political suicide in this impeachment thing. We looked at a couple of possibilities. Let's look at possibility number three. We call it hiding. This is a possibility for Trump's impeachment as a reason for doing it is the scariest to me. Remember the example we've used here several times regarding left hand, right hand? Let me refresh your memory. A good trickster or magician often uses the art of sleight of hand. They prepare their audience to believe that something's about to happen over here in their right hand. The audience focuses all their attention on that right hand, wanting to catch the trickster in the middle of the act. But what the audience doesn't realize is that the magician is manufacturing the real trick with his left hand. The audience is unaware of the real method because their full attention is on his right hand, and his trick always works. Could Pelosi and company be the perpetrators of the same kind of sleight of hand thing? For that to be true, the action they show their audience today, impeachment, is occurring in their right hand. Their promotion, advertising, press conferences, news stories, and political ads all point to the horrors of what is happening in their right hand. Impeach Donald Trump. At the same time, however, the things they want to keep from their audience are quietly being put in place and operating in their left hand. And it's behind their back, to be honest with you. In President Trump's case, this would mean that all the noise that has so effectively distracted Americans is what is fueling Democrats' sleight-of-hand trick play on their audience, the American people. That's in their right hand. While that has been in full swing, actually since before his inauguration, Democrats have been hard at work to keep their power and control protection intact, though at best unethical, at worst hidden illegal acts. What could be those hidden things, those things in their left hand? Well, Democrat operatives were caught in the act of tipping the 2016 election scales in favor of Hillary. They used opposition research in the Steele dossier as fuel to mount sufficient voter outrage to turn Trump supporters to Clinton. It didn't work. Behind the scenes, in the left hand, DOJ and FBI never-Trumpers worked together to fabricate story after story, media leak after leak, all the while faking news stories from anonymous and confidential sources passed around from lamestream media outlet to the next one. All this was an attempt to hide a carefully coordinated political coup d'etat instituted by top-level intelligence agencies officials. They were strategically planning media leaks of everything from Trump illicit sexual activity to alleged treason, abuse of power, and obstruction of Congress. And then after the election, and even before he was inaugurated, anti-Trump supporters orchestrated fake voter demonstrations all over the nation. Some of those demonstrators were actually paid mercenary political hacks who were on the job to ramp up faux voter anger for Clinton's loss to Trump. And supposedly, of course, that loss was initiated by the Russian hacking of the election. The most sinister of all the Democrats hiding were the numerous government employees with top security clearances working in classified positions, who aggressively, together with others of the same ilk, crafted a plan to kick Donald Trump out of the White House. Text and emails revealed they even had an insurance plan against Trump's success. So hiding was our possible number three. Number four, and our final one, is called running the table. This might be the Democrat Party's swan song. They may just be throwing in the towel. Wait, you say? Democrats might be quitting, just rolling up in a ball on the floor because of Donald Trump? I know it may seem odd, but think it through. Pelosi, Schumer, Nadler, and other senior members of House leadership have a couple of centuries in U.S. government service collectively. Indeed, they're tired of the grind. They gotta be. They've been doing it for so long. Some are probably ready to go to the House and not the House of Representatives. Go home. The first thought is that they've put together a big pile of power. They've eaten at the king's table a long time, played their games with the people's money, passed out billions of dollars to buddies, relatives, and have grown accustomed to all the luxuries that that kind of life affords. They would never quit. That's the point. Those evils were not implemented and used without a whole lot of angst, manipulation of people, threats, intimidation, maybe even some blackmail to get and maintain all those beautiful things that go along with political power. There's a price to pay for all that. Imagine this. One Northern California native young girl from a prominent political California family gets elected. Her background gave her recognition, credibility with her fellow Californians, and all kind of connections. She grew up with lots of material things, opportunities that were given to her. She really liked it. She married a son from another powerful California family. He had similar background, similar ideas for his future as she did. Paul and Nancy Pelosi started their current lives just like that. With Nancy as a young congresswoman, Paul as a commercial real estate developer, the two discovered power, especially Washington political power, opened every door of financial opportunity in the U.S. They rolled the dice, and they hit their number over and over and over again. Today, as a result, they're worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Why do they need to continue the fight and struggles to maintain their status and power any longer? They have everything they ever wanted, possibly could achieve. Maybe they just want to take it easy. The same thing applies to all these other Democrat political heavyweights that are leading Congress and have been for decades. Maybe it's just time for them to pass the torch. And they're giving up. Well, let's wrap things up here. Some or all of these four might seem far-fetched, but it all makes sense. Before Trump supporters begin to take any victory laps, think these things through. Pelosi and company are who they are, have achieved what they have made, and have left many powerful political opponents in their wakes while controlling the United States government. Democrats are not going to give up. They are not going to give in. They are not going to quit. They never have and never will. Even if their plan is my number four plan, it's not going to be a concession. It'll be to take these babies that just got to Congress, that just started their careers, to teach those youngsters all of the tricks these Democrats created and perfected over time, and help these babies implement them in 2020 political America. If this happens, things won't look the same in D.C. AOC may get sent packing along with several other of her squad counterparts, but a generation of babies is coming of age. Pelosi and company are prepared to pass the mantle on to them. And it looks like number four may be the one of the four that's the most viable reason for Nancy Pelosi and company just letting this impeachment process play itself out. Hey, thanks for being with us today. I don't need to tell you there's a whole lot going on. In just a couple of days, we have a very important announcement that we're going to bring to you about the way you can get directly involved in our podcast here at Truth News Network. More about that in upcoming days. Until we get together again, have a great one. So long, everybody.
Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.